Fellowship. This morning we're going to be talking about the wok. And you say, well, I'm not really a big Chinese food fan, not that kind of wok. We're talking about our Christian wok, amen. You know, back in the day, and I don't know that I've heard it too much lately, but we used to say things like, how's your wok, brother? And that implied, you know, are you walking with the Lord? You know, we're told that, I think my tablet just rebooted itself, okay. We're told that, you know, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And that kind of implies a certain level of responsibility for the rapture. You know, that we need to be walking with God, amen. And, you know, when Jesus was talking, he talked about the road being straight and narrow. And, you know, you don't want to waver off this side or that side. You want to, I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted because I can't believe my tablet just rebooted itself, but we'll get there. But you want to walk. You want to walk the walk, right? You don't want your talk and your walk not to match one another, right? We want our walk to match our talk, and then we're where we need to be. So, technology, right? Okay, I think we're there again. Let's hope that doesn't do that. I don't know. Maybe it's just the devil trying to slow us down here. You people in Facebook land don't know what's going on, but it's okay. We're getting there. This week, let me just give a preface for our text while we're waiting on this technology to do its thing. This week, the Lord kind of put something in my spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit sometimes speaks in what we call that still, small voice. And it's not uncommon for us as Christians to say, well, is that the Lord or was that just me? And the thought that I had was about when the children of Israel were marching around Jericho. So that's our text this morning from Joshua chapter 6. And it says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none went in. Now, of course, that's an interesting statement because the children of Israel had a reputation. They had already conquered many people on their way into the promised land. And so Jericho knew what was coming. So they were shut down pretty tight. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you the land, Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus you shall do 6 times. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpet, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horns, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the walls of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. So this was God's military plan to conquer the unconquerable city of Jericho. Have you ever felt like you got something in your life that's unconquerable? Maybe it's a besetting sin, a habit, maybe it's impure thoughts, maybe it's pride or lust or greed or any number of those sins of the flesh. And that's our walk. We're supposed to walk the walk. We're supposed to have victory over these things. And our walk with the Lord is a walk of faith, and it's a walk of trust. We have to trust the Lord. We have to have faith. We're told to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll guide and direct your paths, right? And so trust is a big thing. We have to trust the Lord. And God said that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Now, they didn't have those big, giant, powerful halogen flashlights back then. They had a lamp that had a flame burning, and that lamp only gave you enough light for about 2 paces in front of you. And, you know, we would love to be able to see everything the Lord is doing, wouldn't we? We'd love to be able to say, oh, okay, well, I'm not freaked out by the election, or I'm not freaked out by this, because I know what God's going to do. But we don't know what God's going to do. And so we have to walk our walk by faith and trust. Amen. And the lamp that God gives us is just enough to see out just a few feet out. And that's our walk, just enough to take the next step. Amen. And then we have to trust God for the next step. And so the question that came to me this week is, did the foot soldiers, we're not talking about the leadership, did the foot soldiers, the children of Israel, know how long they were going to walk around that city before the city fell? And I said, well, Lord, I never thought about that. And the Lord said, no, they didn't. Well, I had to check that out because I wasn't sure if that was God or me, right? Because you just tend to think that Joshua would have told them, and everybody knows on the seventh day we're going to do it seven times and we're going to shout and the walls are going to fall down. Everybody knows the answer, right? But in verse 10, it says that Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, and neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, then you'll shout. He didn't tell them the day. The Lord was right. Aren't you glad the Lord's always right? Yeah, and so this is interesting to me because you and I are walking around our Jerichos, amen? You and I are wanting to see victory in our life. We're wanting to see our walls fall. We're wanting to see the Lord come through and meet our needs, be it financial or physical or spiritual or emotional. And we say, Lord, how long is it going to be? When is this going to change? And we don't know, but they didn't know either. And so that's the secret of victory. The secret of victory is trusting God, having obedience and faith to trust God in the walk of faith, even when you do not know when the answer is going to come. Praise God. They had seen God perform everything He had promised, and so they were okay with it. Here's Joshua. Here's what you're going to do. Every day you're going to walk around that city, you know? And so they walk around it, and they go back, and they get their food, and they're sitting around having dinner together. And what are you going to do tomorrow? I guess we're going to walk around that city. Well, what are you going to do the day after that? Well, I don't know. I don't know what Joshua is going to tell us to do. One day he's going to tell us to shout, but we don't know when that day is going to be. And you know, when God comes through, and when God gives you the victory, nobody has to tell you to shout, because that's when you shout, amen? You say, whoo, hallelujah, look at the walls fall, right? But are they going to fall tomorrow? I don't know. They're going to fall the day after tomorrow? I don't know. So what are you going to do? I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to listen to my spiritual Joshua, Jesus, and I'm going to keep my eyes on Him, and I'm just going to keep walking. It's the walk of faith. I'm going to walk around that problem. I'm going to walk around that city. And then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to have dinner. I'm going to have fellowship with Sean or something. And he makes me laugh. Amen. And then what are you going to do the next day? I'm going to keep walking, you know. And the reason why people quit walking is because they think they need to see the answer. And they get frustrated because they don't see the answer. They get discouraged. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That means lose heart. That means throw in the towel. That means give up. And so the child of God is the man or woman who just keeps walking. Amen. That just keeps walking. And how do you walk? You put one foot in front of the other. You know, they say that people who fall into deep depression don't want to get out of bed. Have you ever heard that before? But we got to get up every day. And we got to keep walking. We got to keep doing what God has called us to do. Now, Abraham, he was given a promise that in his old age that he was going to have a child. And you know what he had to do? He had to do that W word, wait. Boy, that's not fun, is it? Wait. He had to wait. He had to wait. You know, part of our walk is a walk of wait. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of obedience, but it's a walk of wait. It's a time where we just say, you know what? God knows the day. I'll just keep walking, and I'll keep waiting. You know, back at, how many of you guys remember the Maranatha Praise, you know, albums was in my day, before the cassettes, before the 8-tracks, before the DVD CDs. And they used to have a song, In His Time. Remember that? In His Time. He makes all things beautiful. in His time. And He does. It's God has a timetable. His timetable is not my timetable. His timetable is not your timetable. But I can promise you there is a day when the walls will fall. There is a day when God will answer. There is a day when the clouds will part. And until then, like Abraham, we have to wait for the promise. Amen. We have to wait for God's perfect timing. Now, Sarah didn't want to wait, did she? She's like, here, take my handmaiden Ishmael, and we'll just help God out. And of course, every time we try to help God out and not wait, we always birth an Ishmael in our life, don't we? We do. We birth something in our life. We're like, oh, why did I do that? Now I'm in debt, or now this, or now that. Why didn't I just wait on God? You know, it was real tempting when I needed a pickup a while back, you know, because easy credit. Easy credit is called easy debt, right? But, you know, I had just about money, and I knew what I wanted, and Frida drove me around, and we went driving all over the country just about, looking for me a pickup, and everything I'd look at was just, it was ugly. It was bad. I'm thinking, is this all I can get for $2,000, Lord? And I was about ready to give up, and I said, well, you know, okay, one more look. And God blessed me with something. I mean, this truck would be sold for $8,000 if a dealer had it, I think. But you know, it's God's perfect timing. And so Sarah wanted him not wait, and he birthed an Ishmael. Now Abraham listened to reason. Listen to me, what I'm saying. There'll always be somebody that wants to give you their opinion. Amen. Well, let me tell you, you know, you might as well just do this that way, right? You want to listen to reason rather than waiting and trusting God. And so he was part of the Ishmael, wasn't he? But in God's time, Isaac was birthed. In God's time, God is going to birth something in your life that's God's perfect plan and God's perfect will and God's perfect timing. And until then, what do? You just keep walking. Amen. Yeah, wait. Walk and wait. Walk and wait. So our walk is a series of waits, isn't it? Now, think about that. My walk is a series of waits. Be honest, how many of you guys don't like to wait? Be honest, how many of you guys hate to wait? Be honest, how many of you guys just despise waiting on God? Of course we do. Because we want it now, don't we? And you know what? The testing of our faith is waiting. That's our testing our faith. Think about it. Abraham was called the father of faith. And he didn't really blow it. He just submitted to his wife. But it was wait until you're 100 years old. When I started out in the ministry, I'm ready for God to just, you know, these miracles happen and churches overflowing and three services on Sunday morning, you know, and I'm still waiting. But you know what? I think about Moses. Moses, the first 40 years of his life, he was educated by Egypt. The second 40 years, he spent 40 years as a sheep herder, and he began his ministry at 80. Well, I got 20 years to go still. You know what? God never gets in a hurry. God is more concerned about getting the world out of you than about getting you looking spiritual by your own means. And He will leave you in. God is a slow cooker. God is a crock pot. And He will cook you slowly and slowly and slowly. And He is more concerned with the image of Christ in you than anything you know or do. Amen. It's the part of our walk. It's waiting. Now in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we have thou shalt nots, right? But in the New Testament, we have the Beatitudes, which are kind of the complementary or the opposite of that. We have the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that, right? And so many see the walk as a test of patience, but we don't want to focus on the negative. It's really a test of endurance. You know, when we say the patient word, I hate that word, and I know you do too. It's the P word. It's the bad word, patience. I don't want to hear that. But I like endurance, don't you? Because endurance is that trained athlete who's running the marathon whose side is hurting, but he keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. He keeps going. And there's people out here who used to be in church, but they didn't make it, and they're at home now because they got offended or they got bitter or they got angry or because God didn't answer a prayer. But you and I aren't those people, are we? We're still here and we're still standing because we are men and women of endurance, and we keep on keeping on. And when we can't keep on, you know what? We keep on a little longer. That's our walk, amen? I said, that's our walk, church. That's our walk. It's a walk of endurance, and we don't quit. When others quit, we don't quit. When others throw in the towel, we don't throw in the towel. Life may deal us some things. We may have some disappointments along the way, but bless God, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And I'm not quitting, are you? I'm not quitting. This is my walk. It's a walk of endurance. Psalm 37:3 tells us to trust in the Lord and do good, and so you will dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. You know, our walk is a walk of trust. It's a walk of trusting God. You know, I may not understand why God didn't answer this prayer or that prayer. I may not understand why this happened or that happened. But I trust God. Amen. I trust God. I said, I trust God. You know, Jesus taught us to trust God. He taught us. He said, you know, look at the birds. God takes care of them. Are you not more important than birds? We're to trust God. Joshua's foot soldiers, they didn't know how long they were going to walk around that city, but they trusted the Lord. They knew that they would dwell in the land. God said, I am giving you the land. I know this morning that I'm going to dwell in heaven. I know this morning I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I know this morning I'm going to cast that crown before the feet of Jesus. I know this morning that I'm coming back with Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years. I know this morning that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm not going to exchange what I don't know for what I do. I am trusting the Lord. That's my walk, amen? That's our walk. So they knew they'd be taken care of. Their leader was Joshua, ours is Jesus, but it's the same thing. He says, just walk the walk, man. When Jesus was ascended up into heaven, the angel said to the children of Israel, Jesus said, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons the Father's placed in His hand, but you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. See, that's the secret of my walk. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know the times and the seasons that the Father has placed, but I have the power of the Holy Spirit, and He helps me walk the walk. Psalm 37:7 tells us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way. You can change that to fret not because of who they say won the election, right? Just rest in the Lord. Just go ahead and just rest in the Lord. I said just go ahead and rest in the Lord. I'm not worried about what the politics are going on. You know, I was thinking, I'm actually kind of happy that it turned out the way it did, because it just means we're that much closer to the revealing of the Antichrist, which means we're that much closer to the rapture of the church. Amen? So just go ahead and rest in the Lord. How do I walk? How's your walk? I'm resting in the Lord. Things didn't turn out the way I thought they should, but I'm just going to go ahead and rest in the Lord. You know, the Hebrew writer of Hebrews tells us there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. He said if Joshua could have taken him into the land of rest, he wouldn't have spoken of a future day. See, the rest of the Lord is not going into a place and sitting in a recliner. The rest of the Lord is how you walk your walk. It is a trust that transcends all circumstances and all situations. And you sit down and you say, glory to God, Jesus is still on the throne. I think I'll just go ahead and trust Him. Amen? Praise God. So our walk doesn't have to be hard. If we trust the Lord, it can be a time of rest. Praise God. Now my walk is just me waiting on the Lord and putting, as I said earlier, one foot in front of the other. I can remember times in my life where all hell broke loose. I didn't know what was going on. And I would find myself walking. And you know, it's kind of like when you drive down the road and you don't remember yourself driving to your house, and we've all probably done that, right? And it's because your mind is just spinning on things. You know, You're thinking about this thing and that thing and what happened and why didn't it happen and why didn't you do this, God? You know, and that's not the way God wants us to do it. He wants us to just stay focused on Him and put one foot in front of the other. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them they shouldn't depart Jerusalem, but for wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you've heard of me. And so part of the walk is waiting for the promise of the Father. See, they knew in our text, Joshua's foot soldiers, if you will, the children of Israel marching around, they knew that there would be a victory, amen? Jesus said, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so when we wait, it's not waiting because we think God's never going to answer. It's waiting because we know God's going to answer, amen? And so it's just a matter of, I wonder if this is the day that God's going to answer. I wonder if this is the day that God's going to answer. And maybe if God didn't answer this over here, He's got something better over there. I tell you, when we were looking for those trucks, I'm glad God had something better compared to some of the stuff we saw. Isn't that right, Frida? Amen? But God has something better for you. And there is a promise that God has got out there if you can just wait on the Lord. Amen? Isaiah 25:9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We've waited for Him. And He will save us. This is the Lord. We've waited for Him. And we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. I tell you, that's one day I am waiting for. Amen. I'm waiting for all the people who've posted scoffing things on my Facebook page when I preach. I'm waiting for the people who roll their eyes about my saying Jesus is coming soon. Because I'm saying, hey, come here, you guys, come here. Let me introduce you to someone. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. We've been waiting for Him. Amen. And that day is the great day we're waiting for, isn't it? And that's why we keep walking the walk of faith. That's why we keep standing when others fall. Because there is a day coming when He is going to split that eastern sky. And we're going to see Him coming. King of kings and Lord of lords. Fairest of 10,000. Bright and morning star. What a day that's going to be. Keep walking, church. That's what I'm saying. Keep walking. Now, there are going to be challenges to the walk. Moses had it. It was the murmuring people. Oh, I wish you were brought us all out here to die. I missed those onions in Egypt. Oh, I wish I had some of those beets they had back there, you know. And you know, and you're going to have that. You're going to have people that just wear you down with their murmuring and complaining, but you got to keep walking. And Nahum, good old Nahum. Nahum, you know, he was the man with leprosy. And the handmaiden said, you know, go to the prophet Elijah. And he says, go dip in Jordan. And Nahum was like, what? You want me to what? He said, I thought you were going to wave your hands over me like Benny Hinn. And you want me to go dip in that? There's better waters up in Syria. And so you're going to have those people, and you try to give them advice. You say, Lord's coming. What? What? And then there's Jonah. He didn't want to preach. I was in a service before I came to Tahlequah one time, R.W. Shambach of the Mabee Center. He said, if you don't preach here, you're going to preach in hell. I knew he was talking to me. Man, sometimes you got to hear that kind of stuff. Yeah. And Jonah didn't want to preach, but he did it. And he's waiting, knowing God's going to show him mercy. And he's murmuring. I tell you what, murmuring is one of the worst things a child of God can do. That's not the walk we're talking about, is it? And so God said, okay, you want to have something to complain about? Here, let me just have this worm eat this gourd away and let the sun fry your bald head a little while. And then, of course, Martha. I'm doing all the work and she's just sitting there. You know? You know what? Our walk sometimes is just sitting at the feet of Jesus, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, obviously, there's things that have to be done. Carpets have to be vacuumed. Crickets have to be vacuumed up out of the bathroom at Faith Fellowship Church every week. Because they're going to be there next week. But that's part of our walk, isn't it? Now, Psalm 27:14 tells us to wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. A strengthened heart is a heart that keeps walking. Amen. Our hearts tend to get discouraged And that's that innermost place in your life. And, you know, we don't want to belittle that. We can sit here and shout and all this, but then, you know, and it always feels good to shout and feel the victory on Sunday morning, but there's Tuesday afternoons and Friday night at midnight when you feel discouraged. But when we wait on the Lord and we encourage ourselves in the Lord, He will strengthen your heart. He will help you through the way. And then Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord, you can say this with me if you want, will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. Come on. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. And so when you wait on the Lord, what happens is there is a gust of Holy Spirit wind that catches you, just as that undercurrent of an eagle. And that eagle doesn't have to strive or struggle or flap his wings. He rides the current of God. And when you wait on the Lord, you are riding the current of God to great heights. Amen. And so our strength doesn't come from seeing our walls fall. It comes from waiting on our walls to fall. Amen. It's still the faith that the walls are going to fall, but we are waiting on the walls to fall, and that's our walk. And it's not always easy because we say, Lord, how long? How long? You know, the Lord told Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing have I rejected him from reigning over Israel? And then he told him, fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And you know, you may have had something in your life die. Our Christian walk is the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, the rebirth of a vision, the death of a vision. And we will have experiences in our life that happen that we don't fully understand. And it's okay to go through a mourning period, but we can't stay there, can we? And the Lord told Samuel, he said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing as I rejected him? And then he says, fill your horn with oil and go. And when we've had something happen in our life that shakes us or disappoints us, maybe it even discourages our walk a little bit, the Lord says, okay, you've cried enough. Fill your horn, fill your life with the Holy Spirit, and go and do something for God. I can't think of anything better to pull me out of frustration, discouragement, or depression is get out there and do something for God. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs, he that waters others is himself refreshed. So if you're going through something right now, maybe you're going through the death of something in your life, get on your feet and go do something for God and watch how your attitude will change. Amen. And then, of course, 1 Kings, the showdown on Mount Carmel, as I like to call it. Elijah came to the people and he said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, and if Baal, follow him. And I know there's a lot of people, and none of you guys in Faith Fellowship Church, that are flaky. One day they're spiritual, the next day they're wearing a worldly hat and carnal. And you know what? There's a lot of people that halter between two opinions. But our walk must be consistent, amen. Single-mindedness, as the Bible says. And in Job chapter 19, verse 2, it says, how long will you vex my soul? Sometimes you feel like God is vexing your soul, isn't it? But you know what? God doesn't hurt us. God just corrects us. And sometimes we will have a situation that feels like we're being vexed, amen? Sometimes we'll see chapters in our life as if God is vexing us, but God is just trimming off the rough edges. He uses sandpaper, you know, to get those rough edges off. And then Psalm 13:1, how long will you forget me? Have you ever felt like God forgot you, you know? Have you ever had those prayers where they feel like they bounce off the ceiling? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 94:3, Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long will the wicked triumph? And so all of these are questioning God's timing, right? You know, we want to see the walls fall in our life. We know by faith the walls are going to fall. But how long, God? How long do we have to wait for these walls to fall? And Daniel, you know, said to the man clothed in linen, this is one of those Christophanies, Jesus is floating above the Tigris River, and he says, how long until the end of all these wonders? And he said, I heard the man clothed in linen, which is upon the waters, he held up his right hand and his left hand, and he swore by him that lives forever, that it'll be a time, times, and a half a time, which is those 3.5 years till Christ returns from the abomination of desolation. Why did you put that in here, Brother Roger? Because I'm here to tell you that God has a time when he's going to finish all of this. And you may be going through stuff. There are people going through heartache and pain, and they don't understand why they have to do this. There's people who have diseases that God hasn't healed. I'm here to tell you, the King is coming, and he's about to wrap this all up. And so we want to keep walking the walk of faith, because there is end in sight. Amen. And when the angel opened, Revelation 6:9, opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain by the word of God and the testimony. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given them. And he said to them that they should rest just a little season. And maybe you feel like those people this morning. Maybe life has just shaken you. And the Lord is saying to you, just go ahead and rest just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. Keep on keeping on. It's going to be all right. And so Jesus taught us that he knows our needs. He knows our needs. He knows how many hairs are on your head. There's not a person alive that knows how many hairs are on your head. But Jesus knows. Jesus taught us he not only knows, he sees. He said, the Father sees a sparrow when he falls, and you're more valuable than a sparrow. Jesus knows, Jesus sees, and he hears. When Hezekiah was pronounced that he was going to die by the prophet Isaiah, he started praying. He turned his face to the wall, and he began to pray, and God heard his prayer, and Isaiah hadn't even got out of his front yard, and he made him do an about face. He said, go back and tell Hezekiah, ruler, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, and I'm going to heal you. And on the third day, now you will go up to the temple of the Lord. There is a time when victory will come. There is a time when the walls will fall. There is a time when you will shout and laugh and rejoice again. Keep walking, church. Keep standing. Keep going. God is on the throne. Now, there's a picture of my dog Spock. Isn't that a cute picture? People at home can't see that. Maybe I'll post this picture underneath the post. The reason I put Spock here is because every day when I get ready to leave and he's standing at the door, I say, Spock, I'll be back later. Now, Spock's ears aren't up like they are in this picture. They're down. And his tail's not up or wagging. It's down. And he can't understand me. He can't understand me. He understands a few words like treat and out. But he doesn't understand when I say, I'll be back, don't be sad, I'll be back later, I got to go to work. He doesn't understand that. I say it every morning, but he still doesn't understand it. But you know what he does understand? He's always come back. He's my master. And I may lay around all day. I may see a bird and bark. I may sleep most of the day. May scratch a little bit. But that door is going to open again. And you know where he's at when I come through that door? He's right by me, right by the door when I open that door. Yes. Welcome home, Master. Yes. I've been waiting for you. Yeah. And that's what we need to be like our dogs. We need to be faithful. We need to keep on keeping on. So what's the Lord saying to you today? You may not know when the walls are going to fall. You may not know when the Master is going to show up. But we need to wait, we need to trust, we need to rest. It is a Christian walk. You're not the only one feeling the way you feel. Every one of us feel that way. We all need to be reminded that this is what a Christian does. We keep the walk. Do it well. Do it well. So when the Lord returns, he will say to you and me, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this beautiful reminder that even the children of Israel at Jericho didn't know when the walls were going to fall, but they knew that they would. And this morning we're thankful, Lord, for that sweet reminder of the Holy Spirit that though we do not always know when, we know that you've never failed us. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you will see us through, and you will meet every need. For you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today.